coming to you live from the Peacock Lounge. This is another episode of Magically Amateuring.
That's right. Every week, if you're checking out our video, you will see slightly more of this peacock picture.
Yes.
Until one day, you get to see the whole thing. But we're leading up to that because it's pretty magnificent. So you can't see it all at once.
You guys, if you haven't checked out our video version of our podcast,
this will make no sense.
You will not know what we're talking about. This will make
no sense. And do you know what? That's on you, because that video is out there in the world.
It is.
We're not withholding you from it from you.
No.
We're not keeping it back.
No.
We're not hiding it.
No.
We're not secreting it away.
Mm-mm.
We have not in the middle of the night stolen it from you.
No.
And taken it somewhere.
We have not put it inside a golden turtle shell and held it for our own purposes.
Maria, is the video inside of that turtle?
Whoa.
No, it's apparently not.
Nope.
All right.
Let me just put this turtle away.
That was really a short-sighted decision to pick that thing up.
I went a long distance for that joke.
You didn't think through the fact that you're going to have to put the lid back on and put it back down again?
Now everybody out there in video land knows I have a golden turtle.
Exactly.
In my house.
But do you know what else requires thinking through in addition to picking up turtles?
What?
Magic the Gathering.
Magic the Gathering is a game which requires, you know, brains.
It really does. It requires, you know, some amount of brains, some amount of brawn.
Yep.
You have to have enough brawn to pick up cards.
It's a minimal amount, but it's some brawn.
It's some brawn.
Mm-hmm.
Involved.
You're going to need some brownies.
Brownies. You're going to need some brownies. Everybody needs a snack.
Brownies,
okay?
And brawny, the paper towels, in case you spill your Diet Mountain Dew all over your game state, which I've been known to do.
Or your other beverage of choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be Diet Mountain Dew unless you're Maria, in which case it literally has to.
It literally has to be.
Because that's how addiction works. It has to be magic, and it has to be Diet Mountain Dew.
But to help you with brains / brawn, Megan and I come to you every week here on Magic the Amateuring to give you tips on how to become a better Magic the Gathering player. Perhaps you're a new player to the game. Perhaps you're a veteran returning to the game after many eons. Or perhaps you're a seasoned player who just likes to have a good fun time. You know?
Yeah.
We won't hold that against you. Join us.
No, we certainly won't. Except every once in a while, we do hold it against you.
Give me an example of when you've held it against somebody.
When I've held someone being a being like a good magic player against them.
Yeah.
Anytime they beat me.
Salty.
That's not true. I'm actually more upset when people who aren't super skilled beat me. If someone is skilled and beats me, I'm like, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that on the show before.
We definitely have.
And magic is a game of variance. So sometimes the worst players will win, and that's just the way it goes.
Exactly. And that's a little bit of the magic of the game. I didn't even mean that.
great job.
Oh, God.
High five.
On
this week's episode, we're going to dive deep into the mailbag. We did a little bit last week, but this week we're going even deeper down to the bottom of the mailbag where all the crumbs are.
We are reading. Wait, Maria, your post person is doing something wrong, because there should not be mail crumbs in your mailbox.
Oh, you don't get crumbs?
I don't get mail crumbs. I only get like entire envelopes.
Oh, it's great. Sometimes it's chocolate chip cookie chunks. Sometimes it's chunks of like a Rice Krispie bar. Sometimes it's like old pieces of gum. Sometimes it's like the crust of a old French toast.
And you eat them?
You know, just a little light snacky poo.
Oh, gross. I mean, I know that what you're saying isn't real, and I'm still grossed out by you right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So on today's episode, we're going to answer questions from you, the listeners, that you've submitted to us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/magicTheAmateuring, on Twitter @MTAcast, and to our email, magicTheAmateuring@gmail.com. Of course, if you have more of these questions, please send them in. We love to read them and answer them. And this week, since we're kind of in the middle of a set, we figured, what a great time.
What a great time to stop.
Stop
and wait a minute and think about it a bit.
That sounds like you, like the lyrics to a song that we're like, right? No, we can do better.
Wait, what's the song that I was thinking
stop,
about?
Stop, collaborate, and listen.
No, there's
what?
There's another
stop
one.
Stop in
like,
the name of love.
No, that's like that has specifically wait a minute.
Oh, I think I feel like I know what you're talking about.
What song is that? Right, listeners, here's our mailbag to you.
Stop. Wait a minute. Put some liquor in it. You're thinking of Uptown Funk.
Am I?
Yeah. here's my cup, put some liquor in it, right?
I don't think that's the song that I'm thinking of, though. I think I'm thinking of an older song than that.
I literally told you the song, and you're not even thinking it's the song.
I don't even...
This is my life. This is what I have to deal with.
Maybe you're right. Wait, maybe you're right.
I'm always right.
Wait,
Megan,
a minute. Fill my cup, put some liquor in it. Yep, okay.
You're always thinking about Uptown Funk.
except when I'm thinking about Downtown.
Oh, yeah, that's another great song.
Both great. Anyways.
Yeah.
Where were we?
The show. Let's
stop and wait a minute. Is where we were.
Let's do a show.
Let's do a show.
For the noobs, mulligans. That's going right. Deep.
We've definitely talked about mulligans in the past, and I'm not going to mulligan this cat on my lap. Hello, cat.
If you're watching the video podcast on Tularean Community College's YouTube page every Friday, you can see my sweet cat.
And you saw that the cat just bit me.
That bit Megan. It's not so sweet. I lied. I can't lie on a video jerk. Podcast.
What a goddamn jerk. Now he's being real nice. I don't know. Cats are so hot and cold like this. It's like that Katy Perry song.
He's hot and he's cold.
He's yes and he's no.
He's in then he's out. He's
up then he's down.
Up then he's down.
Anyways, so mulligans, we've talked about them before on the show.
Yes.
But I thought we would revisit them because I feel it is like some mechanics evergreen.
Yeah, like some trees as well.
Evergreen. And I meant both car mechanics and magic mechanics. You know, some mechanics you go back to year after year and some it's once and you're just like,
one and done.
You did a terrible job with my car.
Nope.
Anyways, so mulligans is something that I've been thinking a lot about lately because I feel like it's a really big area where I have a lot of room for improvement.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feel like recently I've noticed that like my mulligan decisions are like not up to snuff. Or up to scratch, or up to par. They're which not up to snuff, scratch, or par.
You have to pick one.
No, it's not up to any three. They're not up to any three of those things.
I never say up to scratch.
Is that like, no, that's a saying.
I think it is, but yeah, I never say it. Definitely is. But I definitely say up to snuff.
Up to snuff.
Are we talking about drugs?
What? No, scratch is not a drug.
No. Do you have any, got any scratch? That sounds like money. Do you have any money? I meant snuff.
Oh, that is. But that's just like, that's like old fashioned.
What? Old fashioned cocaine, right?
No.
What? Why are you laughing?
Because I can't, because the phrase just struck me as funny. It's what? Like old.
Oh, God.
It's ground deer all over again.
Yeah, it is. There was an episode where Megan made a joke and laughed for like 10 minutes.
For like 10 minutes. It's old-fashioned nose tobacco. Like, that's... right?
Old-fashioned nose tobacco?
Yeah. I think it's old-fashioned nose tobacco.
So it's like people put it in their gums today, but back in the old day, they put it in their nose?
They put it in their nose, I think. Ugh. That's why men had the creepy long pinky nails.
That's why people have pinky...
I know, that's cocaine now, but I don't think it was because opium was the old cocaine and snuff, I think, was the old nose tobacco. I'm not 100% sure, though. I'm not 100% sure.
Look that up.
Wrong.
You guys, what is snuff? Tweet at us at MTAcast.
Exactly. This is our second mailbag question to you.
And I don't want to hear about snuff films. Get that stuff out of here.
Exactly. So anyways, they're not up to scratch, par, or snuff, my mulligan decisions.
Okay.
And I feel like it's just something that makes, like, sometimes you can win or lose a game based
absolutely.
On that.
Absolutely.
It is, I think, very unique. And it's in the fact that it can be literally a pivotal decision. There's so many like minuscule decisions that go into deciding, you know, whether you win or lose a game of Magic in addition to variance. But mulligans are sometimes
it's a giant decision. Yep.
It can be the one decision that determines whether you win or lose. And so like I said, I've been trying to make better mulligan decisions.
Sure.
So I thought we could look at it and break it down a little bit. About like what are you looking at when you're thinking about a mulligan?
I think the most basic thing that you're looking for, of course, is a good mix of lands and spells.
Yeah, absolutely. Generally, depending on your deck, anywhere between 2 and 4 lands is considered acceptable.
Right.
So meaning anything between, you know, like 3 and 5 spells.
Right.
Is going to be okay.
As well as the mana to be able to cast those spells that are in your hand. So you might have a red card and only blue lands, vice versa. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, in fact, so I was especially thinking about this because I made a draft video this week, which if you guys want to go check it out, magictheamatry.com, and you can check it out. And I make some very poor decisions around Planar Outburst.
What do you mean? Like you should have awakened?
I just cast it. I don't think I cast it at optimal times.
Okay.
Just something I talked about in the video. So anyways, sure. go watch it. No spoilers. And there are times when, so it's obviously has white, it was a black-white deck.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like 3 fortified ramparts because it was a late game deck. And I just went all in on late game strategy. And I ended up with 10 plains and 7 swamps. And I had a lot of early white spells. And there were several times when I would have like spawning bed, swamp, and like fortified rampart in my hand.
Ouch.
But do you know what? I kept those. And it was like every time I drew what I needed in time.
Do you think, did you have other cards you could play if you never drew your planes?
One, I thought usually those cards had something powerful to do a little bit later. Like maybe I had my outburst in my hand, which isn't the best example because it requires white. But one, like I said, I was playing 10 planes. So if you think about it, there's 10 planes out of 33 cards in my deck.
It's a good chance.
Exactly. Yep. It's about a 1/3 chance, and I needed to draw it sometime in my first 3 turns, which I am very likely to do.
Right.
And I knew that if I drew one planes for my strategy, it would be great.
Because, you know. Especially because Fortified Rampart is an 06, and so it's going to do its job.
Exactly.
Even on turn 3 or turn 4, which is blocking whatever they have to play.
Yeah, precisely. And especially in this format. So these are some of the factors, right, that are going into it. One, I thought about how likely am I to draw what I'm going to need. In this case, it was planes, and I was just absurdly likely to draw planes.
Like, we could do the math on it, but it was a pretty high percentage.
Exactly. It was just like... factually, very likely to draw planes in those hands. And then I was thinking about, okay, but how does that fit into this format? And this format has turned out to be, like, people don't always do a ton on 1, 2, and 3. There's a couple of decks that do, you know, like maybe some, like Sludge Crawler has turned out to be a very solid one drop that people play.
Mist Intruder is going up, but they're only hitting you for 1.
Exactly.
Culling Drone.
Yeah, and those, like, there are very few strategies now. Like, BFC tends to be a little bit more about the later plays at this point. It's kind of how the format has worked itself out. So I knew also, it's like, okay, do you know what? I'm going to probably, if I don't draw planes until turn 5, there's a really good chance that I'm actually still going to be alive to you know,
not far enough behind, in other words, as well.
Exactly. Not too far behind that I'm going to completely lose the game based on it. So yeah, those were
interesting.
You know, that was another really big thing that went into consideration. And the last thing was, again, like, how does this fit into my deck and into my plan? And it's like, well, actually, you know, my deck has a lot of late game power. I had like an Emiria Shepherd and a Void Winnower in my deck.
Ooh,
and
nice.
Again, of course, the planar outburst. And it's like, okay, so it actually works really well in my strategy, even if I don't play stuff super early. And I have my early cards. The only thing I need to draw is the planes, and I'm highly likely to draw it. So in that case, it's like all of those, you know, usually I think in the past I would have looked at swamp, spawning bed, and like
and
2 fortified
back.
Ramparts and been like, crap, can I keep this? And I don't think it's necessarily clear cut, but I do think that I may be used to be inclined to throw it back, and this time I kept, and I do feel like keeping was on the correct side of the decision.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So when you're a new player coming into Magic, mulligans are a very hard thing to learn.
They totally are.
You know, you sit there and you stare at your hand and you're like, I have no idea if I'm supposed to keep this or not.
Exactly. It's like putting on a pair of ice skates for the first time. You're like, I have to hobble across the floor to get to the ice.
Yeah.
Mulligans are that floor
that
between
hobbling.
The bench and the skating rink while you're on ice skates. This metaphor works perfectly. Don't question it.
I think something to keep in mind for the newest players when you're thinking about mulliganing is what we discussed at the top of this topic, which was, do I have a good mix of lands and spells, and am I able to cast them with the colors of mana that I have available? Like, am I not going to make a play until turn 5 in the game? That's probably not good. Turn 4, also probably not good.
Yeah, really so, pushing it.
Really pushing it.
And especially, and again, so one, if you're, again, like we said, just starting out, that is a very good place to start. I do think when you're starting to think about it in a little bit of a more nuanced way, you do have to think about, like, okay, is my deck about early plays or is my deck about late plays?
Right.
Because if you have, if generally all of your stuff at 4 and 5 is very powerful stuff that you can play, you're more likely to be okay waiting to cast those spells.
And we're talking, like, board wipe powerful.
Exactly. Or even, like, if you have kind of, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what's a really mediocre 4-drop in this format?
Like a 3-3 for 4? Like a 4-3?
Cloud Manta.
Okay.
Right? It's like, if you play nothing and nothing, nothing, and then you play Cloud Manta, and even that's, like, reasonable because it has flying. What if it's, like, an Ondu Greathorn? Right? That's just, like, no way. That's a terrible card.
Yeah.
If you have a powerful card on for, like, the thing that's coming to mind is Incubator Drone, but that's a little low on the power level still. But, right, it's probably going to, like, it's going to get you a spawn. It'll probably trade with their 3-drop. If you have something on 5, like a Kozilek's Channeler, and your deck has really good late game power, you might be okay. But if your deck is kind of relying on just making a very convincing board presence early, then, like, no, you definitely can't wait until turn 4.
Right. So, yeah, and mulligans, by the way, are something that you just, you get better at as the more you play.
Yes.
You learn, oh, I should not have kept that. Like, we've said it on the show before, and I know not everybody follows this rule, but you probably should never keep a one lander or a one speller.
Yeah.
Much like a spelling bee does not have one speller, neither should you.
I mean, at the very end, a spelling bee has one speller.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But they also have one champion.
I don't think I'm following what you're saying.
Like, the one speller is the one, is the champion. He's not a speller anymore. He or she is, you know, they're the champion.
But they're the champion speller.
I don't want to get into semantics with you.
Okay, but I mean, we're talking about a spelling competition, so I think I'm allowed to argue semantics.
That's an early rule I had for myself, and it was really tough to keep at the beginning, but now I'm totally, so much better at keeping it.
Yeah.
So,
A good rule that I heard not too long ago, was if you only need one card to make the hand good, like, it's probably a keeper.
That's an interesting
which I think, and as much as it sounds like it doesn't, like, I feel like that it sounds kind of mushy and not super helpful when you say it out loud, but there's definitely hands that I've looked at and I would have been inclined to send them back. And again, like those ones with Fortified Rampart, it's like, well, what do I need? I need one card to make this a great hand.
Like some blocker that I just am going to throw in front.
Exactly. And it's not, do you need one card to make this a mediocre hand? But it's like, do you need one card to make this a good hand? Then, like, yes, probably you're going to keep that. Especially if the card that we're talking about is a land.
You know, like when you're dating somebody, like, they just need one thing and then they're a keeper.
That's the worst thing I've ever
like, I'm dating this guy and he just needs a Corvette. And then he'd be a keeper.
Really, that's your one thing is a fucking Corvette?
Gross, no.
Okay. I mean, like, what is a Corvette even?
A car.
I mean, I know that. But it's just, like, the stupid, like, it's so tiny and useless.
Yeah, especially if you live in Minnesota.
Oh, you can't drive that effer anywhere.
No, you can't.
You really cannot.
Oh, you know something? I was, my whole life, I never wanted to date anybody that had a good car.
Yeah.
Like, I did not want that.
Yeah, no. I feel like it means, like, for me, it's like, you're spending your money in weird places. Why are you not spending it on magic?
And they're like, you're spending it on magic. You're one to talk.
I'm just like, shut up. It's something I'm passionate about. Are you passionate about your car? Yeah. I don't know.
From these mulligan decisions become you get more complicated ones, such as like, is my 6 going to be reliably better than the 7 that I have, including the scry, and the same thing for a 5.
Stuff like, and this is again another thing that's recently I've kind of started thinking about, is my 7 card hand essentially a mulligan already? I talk about this again in the video. There's a hand where I have a Void Winnower in my opening 7 that also has 3 lands, and it's like, that hand is essentially a mulligan because Void Winnower is so far off from being cast or being in any way relevant to the game that it's essentially it might already as well not cards, be there. Yeah. Exactly. I might as well have only the 6 cards that I can foresee casting anytime soon in my hand. Which is also, again, these are just like little things that you can think about.
Tips for your toolbox.
Yeah. And as Maria said, it's, again, part of it, I think, is the more that you make the decisions, the better you get. But at the same time, the more that you think about the decisions, because I find that I don't know that I was thinking about them enough before. That's what I'm trying to do now.
Yeah, being mindful of your decisions in a game of Magic, and your mulligans especially, is a good way to level up. And take the time, you know, take not too much time. You don't want to be a sloth, but take a little bit of time to make the correct decision, and I think your games will improve. Mailbag.
Hey everybody, that little red flag on an old-fashioned mailbox is up, and you know what that means?
Boner. That mailbox has a boner.
Oh, I actually think it means that you have mail to mail.
Oh,
I don't know that it is actually at all related to having mail. Interesting. Is it? Do you know what those?
No, it's.
I've never been in a house with a mailbox like that. So I'm speaking from like complete ignorance here. Like only what I imagined those mailboxes do.
You don't. It's when you have mail to send out. It's
yeah,
when
you have that's mail what to I was saying. You put okay.
Yeah.
But they don't put the flag up when you have mail.
No.
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 Okay.
It's only when you have to send out.
Okay.
So.
Well, anyways, now that we got that sorted out.
The boners of mailboxes aside.
Yeah.
We've got some great questions from you, the listeners, that you've tweeted at us, emailed to us, Facebook to us, sent us via carrier pigeon, and we're going to read them.
Thank you all.
Tune out and answer them.
All right. Let's start.
Do you
want to
start with Twitter?
We're going to start at the very depths of the Twitter.
Of the Twitter sphere?
Of the Twitter sphere.
Okay.
Okay. Stibbs asks, Commander, best format or bestest format?
Stibbs, that's grammatically incorrect.
Exactly. Bestest is not a word. So I guess it has to be the best format.
But I guess if you're giving us those two options. No, for me, Limited's the best format.
Best format.
Commander's pretty fun, but...
Commander's a really good time. And to be fair, we have yet to really... We've dipped our toes, but we have not plunged our feet, nor dove off the diving board.
Doven?
That's the way you say it.
Yeah.
No, it's not. But we will. We will. It's definitely something that we are meaning to do. We also want to try out this thing called Canadian Highlander that we've been hearing so much about.
Yep. And we'll talk about that on the show in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in the future.
Next
Mike Linneman, Vorthos Mike, talks about art a lot on Twitter. You should follow him. Says gives lots of great and interesting insight and updates on artists.
Yeah, friend of the show. He was on an episode. If you want to go back into our archives, magicallyamateuring.com. We have a show featuring him and Noah Bradley. So search for that.
Sweet. If a card making hound tokens were to be made, what is the appropriate dog in the art description for a 1/1 or a 2/2 hound? Okay, a 1/1 is obviously a chihuahua.
Yeah.
But a 2/2 is definitely a wiener dog.
Wiener dog.
I love it.
Yep. I think that's exactly what I was going to say.
He also tweets the cutest fucking pictures of his wiener dogs.
Yeah.
Oh my God. They're so cute.
He has a dog named Milk Dud. It's cute. Follow him.
Today he was wearing a vest and a hat because it was snowing here. Oh my God. It was the best. Brian Dawes asks, which tribe in Magic is your favorite and why?
Does he mean like... Wedge, or
I assume he means like color affiliation of any like of any the color shards, of the wedges, of the guilds.
I'm Rakdos. Everybody knows that, and I will always be Rakdos. Rakdos power.
Yes.
Blood for the blood god.
Do you know? I think I'm Azorius, but there's a chance that I'm like Esper or Bant.
Yeah.
And I just haven't explored enough recently.
It's college, Megan.
I really need to explore. Get out there and explore. Like, it would make sense if I were Bant, because at first I was Celestia and then I realized I was Azoria, so I'm probably Bant.
You probably are. Have you told your parents yet?
No, I haven't told them. I just don't know how, like, they're really open-minded, but I don't know how they'll take it.
I know. I mean,
you know,
I'm not shocked for one. I'm like, yeah.
You get it. I get it. We've known that you were Rakdos from the get-go.
Yeah. It's obvious.
Jess Golbez asks, are you sure you two still qualify as amateurs?
People ask this to us a lot, actually.
I would say until one of us gets our first goddamn pro point, we're amateurs.
Yeah, we're amateurs until we get a pro point.
We're working towards it. All we have to do is do well enough at a Grand Prix.
Yep.
We can get one of them. At that point, we will reconsider, you know, what our lives mean.
Yeah.
And have meant.
I mean, like, you know, people ask us this seriously, like, oh, how can you call yourselves that? And you're giving next level advice, this sort of thing. But honestly, we are amateurs. In my heart, I feel like an amateur because, like, I have a day job. You know, I have all this other stuff I do. You know, I have these other hobbies. And magic is just one of my hobbies. And I don't, you know, I'm not grinding every weekend or whatever. So, like, I do, you know, sometimes play a pre-TQ, we go to GPs, and I'm playing to win, but I still consider myself an amateur because I'm not trying to make it my career, that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought a while back, and I don't know if we talked about this, but someone sort of emailed us an interesting email about, like, still being in the amateur mindset, which I do feel is something that I've had to work myself out of in terms of excusing myself for losses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because of it. So...
Yes. I don't want to use it as an excuse.
No, it's like, I lost because I made poor decisions.
Right.
I need to own that. Wafflecone asks, great name. If money was no object, what deck would you play in each of Magic's sanctioned formats?
Wow. Great question.
Yes, great question.
In draft, I would play the deck with all, you know, like all Jaces and like probably all the other Planeswalkers and probably, you know, like Ulamog.
That's not how Limited works.
That's the deck I would play.
But that's not how Limited works. Mm.
Okay.
Well, Maria, yes, if you had to play Standard.
If somebody put a gun to my head.
No, if you were playing Standard and you could have any deck whatsoever.
This is a great question because right now the Standard format I've talked about on the show I don't feel like there's a deck for me in it that I love.
That's totally fair.
Oh man, what would I play?
That's why the question is questioning.
Sure. God, I don't want to be that dick and say I would play Siege Rhino.
No, you better not.
Megan will kill me.
Stop talking to you.
I would probably play the Atarka Red deck.
Yeah.
Is what I'd probably play.
Money is practically no object. That deck is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone about this today. I was talking to Aaron of the Girlfriend Bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Another solid podcast that you should give a listen to. And we, like, she was talking about, she was like, oh, have you tried like Dark Jeskai? And I was just like, oh, it just feels too much like embracing the Sith side. Of thing.
It's like,
just
like you're going to the dark
it's
side?
It's just the evil. Well, like, it's just sort of evil because it's just absurdly powerful, but only because it's playing all these stupid ass rares.
I mean, it's so greedy.
Like, it's super greedy. But at the same time, like, I would love to give it a try just because it does look absurdly powerful.
Yeah.
So I would give it a try, even though it would make me feel a little gross and dirty.
How about modern?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I would probably try out artifacts in modern if money was no object. Affinity, yeah.
I think I would, you know, I've almost built Scapeshift, which I'm very excited to try. I would probably try like one of like Jeskai Twin or something like that.
Oh yeah.
I would love to try a twin list, but those are absurdly expensive.
Yeah. In Pauper, I want to try a Delver, but that's not, you know, it's only like 50, 60 bucks.
Yeah.
Legacy, Vintage, I have no idea, so.
Legacy, I would totally play Miracles.
Oh, Miracles seems
watching
fun.
Watching that deck, it's just like, yeah, that's my thing. Maria's all counter spells, you just counter shit.
Gross.
You just counter shit all day. Oh, it's so beautiful.
Why do I
it's
let her so in my house?
It's so amazing. I love watching. I've never played a game of Legacy in my life, but I will watch,
I just want to triple sleeve my cards.
Yeah, that's true. But I will watch someone play Miracles, like,
all day.
Endless rounds of that. Endless rounds. It's so great. And then Vintage,
I honestly don't know.
I've been watching the Vintage Super League, which is super interesting, and it's very crazy.
Yeah, I would imagine it's pretty complex, actually. Oh,
there's just so many things going on that I don't understand. But I would say Olarade, I don't know how to say his name. But anyways, he was playing something called, what was it? Grixis...
peanut butter.
Grixis peanut butter. Yes, exactly. No, what's the... Oh, it's therapy. Because it plays Cabal Therapy.
It's Grixis like, Therapy.
Grixis That's Therapy funny. Is hilarious. Anyways, and it has like young pyromancers mm-hmm. and counter spells and discard spells.
Oh, does it have a counter spell in it? Guess what? Megan wants to get married.
To counter spells. Yeah. I do. So anyways, that one looked pretty cool. Like, yeah, I would totally give that a try. So cool. Let's say that one.
All right.
I would try out Grixis Therapy. All right. I wouldn't Noted. Have any idea what I was doing.
I bet that listener asked us that so they could send us all of those decks. Thank you.
All right. Joshua Millard asks, if you have main deck and Snaring Bridge, Blood Moon, Chalice of the Void, and Graveyard Hate, can you have friends still?
No.
No, the answer is no.
Nope.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
Dix asks, were there any other workshop slogans for the show before Good Luck High Five was established?
You know what? Actually, this is an interesting question because we've talked about this on the show before. We almost changed the name of the show to Good Luck High Five.
Yeah, we did.
Back when we knew that some people were turned off by the name of our show being Magic the Amateuring, totally. And some more advanced players were like, that doesn't seem for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, we decided to go with it anyway because we were kind of enfranchised and we're like, we're just going to keep our name. But mm-hmm. one of the things that had come to the top as one of the suggestions was calling our show Flavor Text Theater. Do you remember that?
No. God, I don't even remember that.
Yeah, and I was like, no, that's stupid.
That was a good decision on your part. Like, solid. And, like, Good Luck High Five doesn't even, like, it just, like, happened.
It just happened. Yeah, we did not even, talk
like,
about
of
it.
Slogans. It just kind of, like, evolved.
If you don't
way.
Know the story is I was playing Magic Online, and I thought that's what Good Luck, what GLHF stood for.
And we also had a discussion on the show where we were like, mm-hmm. I feel weird when someone sits down across from me and says good luck, and it feels insincere. Mm-hmm. So what should I say back? And we're like, high five.
Yeah.
We'll just say high five.
So that's how it was born.
Yeah. Anthony Caldwell asks, My question for this week is, what was the first deck you ever loved?
Aww, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm it was definitely a draft deck for me.
Yeah.
And it might even be the first deck I actually ever drafted.
That's an insane Rakdos deck.
In a tournament, which was my first draft, and it was a big like 50-player event or something like that. And I ended up getting third with it. And I think the reason was because I sat down, I knew I wanted to play red, so I kind of forced it. Black was open, I took it, and it just so happened to be, like, the kind of deck that I play very well. So I got it, and it was great.
Yeah.
Rakdos Smash Face. I would have to say it was my first deck I ever made.
Yeah. For me, it was also, like, an early draft deck of mine where Celestnia just came together.
Yeah.
Like, it was mm-hmm. insanely open, and I got, like, all of these common bonds and like Call of the Conclaves.
Sick.
Just like a ton of really sick things. I think they even had like a Wayfaring temple with all of this populate stuff going on. It was super great and I really loved
Megan,
it.
Megan, question. Do you still have that deck?
I might.
I still have mine.
Yeah. I think I might. I'm not 100% though. My stuff is Magic Sprawl. It's a real thing.
We should try and find them. Mine's like sleeved up in some crappy like black sleeves.
Yeah, exactly. As is mine.
Oh, Unleash, you guys. I love Unleash.
And let's see. Also asked, and if you had to date a non-Planeswalker legend, who?
Gleemax. I want to date a giant brain.
That's a little weird and a little gross. I would have to say, God, I don't think I know enough.
I mean, just, Let's, can you think I mean, of a legend? Like how about, probably, like, Surak? Is he a legend?
No, he is a legend. Okay, I would date, like, Dragon Lord Ojutai.
Yeah, I can see that.
Why the heck not?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, if you're going to date a Dragon Lord.
Date a Dragon Lord. Let's see. Do you want to read?
Sure, I'll read some. Okay.
Oh, my God. This cat is, like, vipering me.
I know, he's so bad, you guys. Anthony asks, do you like holding the mics or are you looking into microphone stands?
Oh, we're looking into microphone stands.
Don't worry, this will not be your life forever.
Oh, no, I really need to hold something while I'm talking.
Yeah, you guys, by the way, the professor noted this on our last video release, but we will soon have a home for us that will not be my crazy living room with trees and a peacock painting. We're going to be somewhere better where we actually look like a podcast. So stay tuned for that.
If two people holding microphones doesn't look like a podcast, what does?
I don't know. Good point. Okay.
You're gonna find out.
Matthew wants to know, what's the worst scenario you can come up with for standard? Things are bad with fetches plus tangle lands. What could make it worse?
Whoa. The other set of fetches and shocks.
Yeah.
Like the other half of fetches and shock lands.
I can, you're not allowed to put sleeves on your cards. Every card is made of spikes. Your dice are made of butter.
Your dice are made of butter.
You're forced to kiss your opponent before the round. Those all could make things worse.
But for me, I'm just going to say the other half of the fetches and then also shock lands just all at the same time.
Okay.
There would be so much shuffling. It would be endless shuffling. Like, it would just be 50 minutes of shuffling.
Most overpriced card modern, not named Jace. Anthony again. Lands, like any land.
Lands, yep. Nope, you're correct. There's also, like, Snapcaster Mage was, like, 80 and now it's, like, 60, but it's still just...
That's ridiculous.
So much. It's so ridiculous. Hopefully it'll come down. They're printing it as the next RPTQ promo, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So it'll come down a little bit.
Kevin wants to know, how do I send Megan Siege Rhinos?
Kevin, we're looking into a P.O. box.
Yeah, you're not the first person to ask us this.
Because I am going to mangle all of those Siege Rhinos while people send them.
We're going
to
have a fire.
Yeah, we'll have a fire. On the podcast. We have video now, so you guys can watch it happen.
Yeah, so if you want to see Megan burn a Siege Rhino, we'll find a P.O. box. We'll set that up so you can send them in. If we can't get that set up in time, I do have an address where you can send some things that we've used in the past.
But Welsh sloth scandal.
Yeah. That'll be awesome. So we're going to try and get that set up for you. All right. Nick asks, how do you like to experience a new set? My friends and I play Booster Box Sealed, 6 weeks of Sealed. Oh, that's very interesting.
Ooh, that's great. I think for us, it's just straight draft. We love drafting.
Yep.
We draft at our store. In the past, we've drafted with friends. We draft online. Just draft that motherfucker.
I like to pour every card in a new set on my bed and sleep with them. I like to take baths in the new cards. That's just my personal thing.
Like, fill your tub with them.
Mm-hmm. And then dive in like Scrooge McDuck, except I'm diving into magic cards.
Exactly. I like to make a milkshake.
And drink them.
And drink
them. Drink my milkshake.
Gross.
Let's see. MTG Prowess asks, what's the most you've ever spent on a single card that you no longer play but don't want to get rid of? I didn't buy any card.
We don't really buy singles.
I mean, we bought for Modern decks, so the most I ever spent on a single card was Misty Rainforest.
Yeah.
Probably.
And I believe I've only up until now used Puka Trade for my Modern deck.
Mm-hmm.
I think I bought, when I was playing Mono Blue, I bought maybe like a Thassa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I probably bought a Thassa when she was,
$10
or something.
Good answer. Yeah. But I never really put together a standard deck, so I never really bought anything other than for my boggles, and I do play them, so.
Yeah, totally.
What's the best thing about standard right now, and the worst, from Direct Damage Cast?
Let's see. The worst is all the shuffling.
The worst, I would... Yeah,
all the goddamn shuffling.
I would say the price, and I think so a lot of people would agree.
Price, yes. Oh, no, that's definitely up there. Price and shuffling are up there for the worst.
The best thing, I think, is the fact that, I mean, it's best and / worst, is the fact that you can play a lot of colors.
I do love that. Like, seeing powerful and, like, reliable four-color decks is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Josh wants to know, if you could ban one card in Standard, not Siege Rhino, what would it be?
Siege Rhino.
Okay. Moving on.
Wait. But really, I would ban Jace Rin's Prodigy.
Jace. Yep, like, I honestly would.
It's just too expensive. It's too goddamn expensive.
And it's in every deck.
And everybody plays
them. I'm bored. Ben asks, what is the most Christmassy card in Magic? There's Christmas cards that they Wizards makes every year, and certain like dealers get them. Yeah. Like, there was Stocking Tiger was a Christmas themed card. And you could play it, like, I think it's legal to put in like your commander deck, I think. I'm not sure.
What about, like, just, like, a snow-covered forest?
Oh, I love the snow-covered forest.
It's pretty straightforward.
You guys, you don't know this about me. I love lands. And I love full art lands, but I also love the snow-covered lands. And I'm really sad that snow-covered forest with those beautiful birch trees was never printed in foil. Wizards, are you listening to me? I need some more birch trees covered in snow. Foil, thank you.
I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah, it was just, it's gorgeous.
Go back to snow times.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, they do print Christmas cards every year, so.
That's cool.
Check that out. Andrew wants to know, when are the winners from each set going to face off in the cutest card championship? Great idea.
Gnarled Pack.
I mean, and that we did have somebody else ask us who's the ultimate winner. It's Gnarled Pack.
It's like it's Gnarled Pack. But we should have like a bracket
at some point. We could do a bracket.
We should have a voting bracket.
I mean, if the listeners think it like differently than us, first of all, they're wrong. Know. But it's interesting.
Well, let's make a bracket.
Okay, we'll make
a bracket.
Thanks, Andrew. Great suggestion.
Great suggestion.
If you were a siege rhino, what noise would you make? Asks Autumn.
One, Autumn, you kicked ass at the Pro Tour.
Yeah, you did.
I saw you go 9-1 with that deck.
Yep.
Only standard deck to go 9-1. High fives.
High fives.
Second, I would make, oh God.
The noise of a slowly drowning rhino?
Yes.
If I was a siege rhino, the noise I would make would be...
What was that?
He's just kind of like, that's like his mating call, but then he tried to mate call so hard that he pooped himself.
Okay, do you know what?
Siege rhinos are not graceful creatures.
I respect your decision to do that.
Layfield wants to know, if you could only force one color in every draft you do forever, what color do you pick and why? Great blue. Question. Red.
Blue. Yep. All right, moving on.
Game Badger. You get to make up a crazy new format for the next major GP. What is it and what do you play? Ooh, I love it.
Oh, man.
I have an idea.
So there used to be, this isn't making one up, but there used to be team drafts.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see that.
Like Rochester draft?
Is that like
that's you, where you can see.
The two of you, you and your partner are at like one seat and you take two cards.
Oh, so you're not like team draft, but like...
No, it's like
two-person literal draft.
Two-person draft.
That's cool.
Like a two-headed giant draft.
I would
love
that. Yes.
Wouldn't that be so cool?
Yes, I would love a two-headed giant, like team draft slash also just normal draft. I would love that.
Yeah.
All draft, all the time. Like a
two-headed giant draft. That'd be
perfect.
Sweet.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say just like all draft all the time.
Oh, yeah.
For the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Just like a straight draft Grand Prix. That would be sweet. I would also love that.
Sean wants to know, how about those wastelands? Pretty solid, right?
Right.
Right. Michael wants to know, beard or no beard?
Depends.
But yeah, it really does kind of depend on the person. But generally, I'm going to say no beard.
Generally, I'm going to say beard?
Unless you're a dwarf, then I'm going with beard, because then no beard is weird.
Hashtag no beard is weird. God, I think generally I err on the side of beard, surprisingly. But again, face dependent.
Yep. Jamie wants to know, reserve list, delete it quickly or gradually?
We should talk about this in the future because I don't think right now we really know enough about the reserve list. I don't like to say opinions on things that I'm not certain about. And I know that Wizards has, you know, their reasons for not printing stuff on it. And I know that people have their reasons for being upset about them not printing things on it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Write it down. Do you have a pen?
I'll write it down.
Okay. Great question, Jamie. We'll get it back to you. Fernando wants to know, what is your spirit card? As in, which card best represents you?
One, we're going to use the phrase, which card best represents you?
I, of course, always pick Exava Rakdos Blood Witch because that card is hasty, it has Unleash, and it's like a 4-drop that gets in there, boom, it also has First Strike. Yeah. It's like classic Maria card. That's all the stuff that I want. Can't block, I don't care.
Yeah.
I love that card. And also, she's badassbomb.com.
Yeah.
She's got a sweet-ass outfit on. She's like...
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really conflicted because I've said before, like, I feel like Chandra is hyper emotional.
Yeah,
I identify with getting angry, but at the same time, let's treasure cruise.
Yeah,
treasure cruise. It's like, yeah, let's draw three cards and let's be a total mistake.
Is that what you say like on your Tinder profile? Let's draw three cards and be a total mistake.
Yeah, I'm gonna write that on there.
Okay, that's great. I love that.
Perfect.
Todd wants to know, what format would you like to see added to Magic Online? Two-headed giant would be fun.
That would be cool.
I don't know how you'd do it, but...
Me neither, but two-headed giant.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
What about Flip It and Rip It on Magic Online? Flip It or Rip It.
Oh, Flip God. It or Rip It! That would be hilarious.
Ooh, terrifying. I think it would be kind of neat if Magic Online did a chaos draft. I think I would do that.
Oh, yeah, totally. Actually, that would be sweet. Like a chaos draft.
If it was just like a phantom chaos draft.
Yeah.
I just had the best idea. Wizards, make a phantom chaos draft, please. Love, Maria. I don't know if you ever have in the past. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Lee Sharp wants to know, would you rather fight an Eldrazi-sized goblin or 100 goblin-sized Eldrazis? Ooh.
That's a really good question,
Goblins
Lee.
Aren't the smallest thing in the world.
No. So I think it's got to be one Eldrazi-sized goblin.
Man. Yeah, because I feel like Eldrazi is also harder to fight than a goblin.
Yeah, because goblins are, like, waist high.
Yeah, and what is a goblin going to do? They're just kind of tricksters. I could probably kill it with fire. Eldrazi, I don't know what I don't know how to kill an Eldrazi, honestly.
I don't know, though.
I don't have a Hedron.
Like, it's so... like, an Eldrazi is so big.
I know.
How are you going to... Like, even if it's a goblin-sized Eldrazi,
yeah.
How are you going to kill that goblin? It's huge.
I don't know.
Huh. I'm going to have to think about this one more.
Okay. We'll get back to you, Lee.
Okay.
Sebastian wants to know, if you could remove or modify a core rule of magic, what would you choose?
That's a great question also.
Mm. You know, I think in the early days of magic, I often complained about mana and like how you would either get mana screwed or mana flooded. Yeah. And there was nothing you could do about it. And sometimes you just plain old lost the game because you also didn't have any good mulligans. So I think I might try and think about a way to modify the way that those work. Not, you know, not to take away variance, but perhaps to add a little bit more, you know, kind of like, will you for sure get a mana every turn or something like that. I don't know. I'm not a game designer, but that's probably what I would do.
Well, I feel like what you're talking about is kind of a little like what they're working towards with the new Scry rule with the Vancouver Mulligan.
Yep.
Which I really like.
So I love it.
I feel like it's a cop-out answer, but that's kind of my answer. It's like, yeah, I agree that mulligans are sometimes one of the most frustrating parts of magic, but at the same time, I feel like the Scry is a big improvement.
Right.
Other than that, let's take away the concept of, let's take away life points and replace them with Skittles.
Okay. I'm down.
All right.
Richard wants to know, will you read anything I send? Great question.
You're just going to have to try. You're just going to have to find out.
Jeremiah, if you're stuck on a plane that isn't our own, which one and why? Ooh.
For a second, I thought he meant like an aircraft. I was like, I don't ever have a plane. So like, whose plane would I be on? I don't know. Someone cool.
Kaladesh.
Kaladesh does seem super sweet.
Steampunk planet. I love it.
No, you're right. Like a steampunk.
There's thopters. I want to ride my own personal thopter.
Oh, yeah. It does seem super cool. Innistrad would be so gothic, though.
Yeah, it would.
It's so gothic.
There's
horror.
Like vampires. That would be fun. You're right. That would be fun.
It would be.
I suppose if I want to go for a weekend, I'm going to go to horror town.
But if
I
want to go for a weekend.
I don't know if I want to live there.
To live there. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Vacation in Innistrad, live in Kaladesh.
I would probably vacation in Theros, actually.
Oh, man. I would love to go to Theros.
Yeah.
Love to. Huh.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
This is a tough question.
Yeah. Those are good ones.
Do you play games other than Magic? What are your favorites? Asks Ashton. No, wait. Oh, Aston.
I really like Pandemic.
Yeah, Pandemic's a good game.
We really like Ultimate Werewolf.
Werewolf is a lot of fun. Megan and I first bonded over Catan. I know it's like a basic game, but I still actually really like it.
I haven't played it in probably since we started playing Magic.
Betrayal at House on the Hill is a game that we like, a board game that we enjoy.
That's a good
one. It's a fun game.
Yeah.
I actually am a huge fan of Cribbage, and I will play that at any time.
Yes, I will play. Same for me with Gin Rummy.
Yeah.
Like, I'll play a ton of
Gin
Rummy.
I love card games. We both like Star Realms.
Even though now sometimes when I'm playing Gin Rummy, I'm like, the fucking variance in this game.
It's just too intense.
I can't handle it. Well, wait, what did you say?
I said Star Realms.
Oh, yeah. We like Star Realms.
Cribbage, sometimes I've found myself thinking now, how much better is it to be on the play to have the first crib? And I, like, Googled it.
Yeah.
You're, like, something like 15 to 16.
It's significantly. It's
very significant.
Significantly. I believe that.
Anyway, so someone fix that.
Anyways.
What other games do I like? Oh, Galaxy Trucker is a fun board game.
Yeah. I love Bananagrams, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love Bananagrams, and Quiddler is another word game that I also super enjoy, actually.
I like Dominion, but I mean, really, when there's Magic out there, like, and Star mm-hmm. Realms out there, they're just superior to Dominion.
Mm-hmm. We've only played it a couple of times, but I do really love Hanabi.
Hanabi
is a collaborative game.
Brain-breaking game.
It's a brain breaker.
You know what I played for the first time this weekend?
What?
Gloom.
I've never heard of it.
It was a great game.
Nice.
Yeah, Gloom. It was a cute little card game where you just kind of like play stats over various cards, and they're all see-through. It was really neat.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. What's the best advice you would give to someone who's just getting into Magic, asks Jason.
Find a person that you're like, who's about at the same place as you, and get into it together. Have a friend.
Yeah.
I think that's literally, you could say lots of other stuff, like listen to podcasts like this one. Or, like, limited and constructed resources. But I think the most important part is actually just, like, having a friend.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. My advice would be to try Draft Out.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, when they start to play Magic, they sometimes are kitchen table players. They just play casually with their friends, which is awesome and amazing. But you know what I would say? Give Draft Out a try. Go take it a step up. Try and be a little more competitive with your game. And I think you're going to find that it opens a whole entire new world to you of competitive play.
Yeah.
So that's my suggestion.
Absolutely. And finally, Paul asks, how large of a pile of cut up siege rhinos would it take for you both to come to Air Traffic Maple Grove's next sealed PPTQ? Do you know what? We would probably go.
Yeah.
Maple Grove's not that far.
So you can send us, like...
We just need to know when it is.
Just send us one cut-up siege rhino.
One cut-up. It will take one.
Yeah, I played one your Paul. Last sealed pre-PTQ there, and it was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, give me 2 seconds. You look up the email one, and I'll look up the Facebook ones. In the meantime, we'll tell you all about the weather. It is
cold, snowing here.
And it is snowing. I'm lucky to be here at all. It literally took me... Usually it's like a 12-minute drive. It was like 25 minutes.
Gross.
It was absurd. It was so wretched.
I've got this one from Nicholas. Great question here. How do you find time to play, stream as much Magic as you do between work, daily responsibilities, and personal relationships? How are you able to do all the Magics each week? Do you find that Magic has helped or hindered your personal relationships or your careers?
I feel like it has... the answer is just get rid of personal relationships.
No, it's a great question. And we talked to Doc in an episode, the streamer,
MTGO Doc,
about balanced life and Magic. And you can go back to our archives and listen to that episode.
I highly recommend that because he talks a lot about it. Yep. And it's great.
But me personally, I can only say that it has only done immensely positive things for my career, specifically my Magic career, because we have this podcast.
Yeah, which is great and super
opened cool new doors.
So much fun.
We never knew that we would open with this show, so it's done wonderful things. It's made me look at a lot of things with a more analytical mind in my life.
Oh, God, yeah.
And so I would say that's also great for my career.
It's made me a smarter person.
Yep, I agree.
I am smarter because of Magic.
Personal relationships, some relationships that I've been in have had a hard time understanding my love of Magic.
Yes.
And it was kind of a strain. And that's true.
That's when you just know that those people are fuckers. You just gotta kick them to the door.
Get out! But honestly, it's like balance, right? So say your partner like does something that maybe you're not into. Well, like you can each have a thing that you do that the other person doesn't necessarily need to be in love with. Mm-hmm. And you can still have a good relationship. You just need to balance it, right? So check out that episode with Doc.
It's a great one. Let's see.
There was a follow-up question.
Oh, okay.
Megan and I are going to have a fight. Do you play Duck, Duck, Goose or Duck, Duck, Grey Duck?
Duck, Duck, Goose.
Duck, Grey Duck.
Don't mess around. Do you know what?
That duck is gray.
Most of the people listening to this are going to know that it's Duck, Duck, Goose because most of them weren't like raised in Minnesota, and
duck,
that is
duck,
literally
gray, duck,
the only
duck, duck,
place
gray,
where
duck,
people think duck, it's duck, duck, duck gray, duck,
duck.
It is
duck,
duck,
duck, gray, duck,
goose. What was that dance? It was creepy. It's creepy and slightly weird.
It was a great dance.
It was very weird.
All right, hit me.
David asks, What are some alternate ways to cast Sea Drino without actually casting Sea Drino?
Throw it at somebody.
Very funny, David.
Don't do that. You'll get DQ'd.
Very funny. The answer is to not cast it.
Yeah.
Alternatively, you can use Bring to Light, but in that case, you're evil. Greg asks, what MTG cards can do stand-in for Santa and his reindeer?
Any Elmer.
All of the Elmers.
Any kind of elk that you see on any card.
Yeah.
That's Elmer.
Stampede of elk.
The limited resources mascot. And he's on a lot of cards, and he's great, mm-hmm. and he could do the job of a reindeer. I love the Elmer and Theros. He's kind of my favorite Elmer.
Oh, he was such a pretty Elmer.
I don't remember what that card was named.
It was Heliod's Emissary.
Oh, yeah, Heliod's Emissary.
Yeah, because it was Heliod's Emissary.
Santa, I don't know. I'd have to look. Oh, I'd have
any
to
of, like,
that.
I feel like any of them. I wanted to have, like a Nightmare Before Christmas
mm-hmm.
situation, where it's, like, any of the goblins.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking,
like,
too.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, Gristlebrand.
Gristlebrand as Santa? Yes. That's like some Krampus shit.
How terrifying would that be?
So scary.
How terrifying would that
be? I've come to bring you presents and get back 7 life and draw 7 cards.
The great Gristlebrand voice. Let's see. Montana says, Megan, have you ever cast a seed rhino? Have you ever looked into the rhino's horn as you tapped into the white, black, and green mana and let the value flow through you? It's not so bad, because in that brief moment, as your opponent is losing life and you are gaining life, you become rhino and the rhino becomes you. I would recommend trying it. It's quite the experience. P.S. Hashtag buy Megan rhinos for Christmas.
Oh my god. Have you ever? You have cast Siege Rhino.
I have cast a Siege Rhino. Yeah. I don't remember why I did it.
In draft, of course.
I'm sure it was in draft. And do you know what? In draft, it was a good feeling.
Whoa! Good feeling. We've had a breakthrough, everybody. We've had a breakthrough.
But do you know what? I realized the error of my ways, okay? And do you know what?
What?
You can't hate something having never been it as you can hate it having been it.
Yeah, you've got to walk in somebody's
exactly.
shoes.
Exactly, you have to walk in someone's
them.
Shoes to really effectively hate them.
I
That's
agree.
How the saying goes.
That is the saying.
That's how the saying goes. But that was very poetic, Montana. You really took me into Siege Rhino's shoes. Cameron asks, what are your thoughts on the legendary cube just as it's about to leave? And what is your favorite MTGO cube format and why? Legendary, vintage, holiday, etc.
Yeah, the new cube, people are loving that new cube.
Yeah. You know, I've only played it just a couple of times. I feel like my opinion is influenced by the fact that I love BFC so much.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have played it more if it had been out during Dragons or Fate Reforged, because I hated those so much.
Yeah, I think that's true.
But my favorite cube is Holiday. The powered cube is just sweet.
And I prefer to play an unpowered cube.
It's so sick, man. I love it. I love Holiday Cube.
Yeah, but it's coming. It's coming, Megan.
It really is. It's going to be great.
And this year I feel like so much better able to play like cube than mm-hmm. I did last year.
Yes. Oh my god. Last year I think was the first year that we really first like dipped our toe into mm-hmm. cube. And I just had a great time. Like once I started drafting the Holiday Cube, like I didn't want to ever stop. I loved it. I loved it so much.
Sign
it
of
was
a good
great.
Cube.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Yeah. All right. That brings us to the end of our look. There's nothing, there's not even crumbs left.
Not,
Maria
no more
has
crumbs.
Taken out all the creepy, disgusting crumbs and eaten them.
Yum, yum, yum.
There is no more mail in our mailbag. Thank you, everyone, so much for
responding.
Yeah,
that was wonderful.
And listeners, if you have a question, whether it's just a brief Twitter-length question or it's a more in-depth question, please, we love answering your questions. You can tweet them at MTAcast or email them to us at magicktheamaturing@gmail.com.
Well, everybody, that's this episode of Magic the Amateuring. Thank you so much for listening / viewing. Remember, you can check out this episode every Tuesday on iTunes and our website. But also, you can wait till Friday and check this out on Tolarian Community College's YouTube page. And you can see our beautiful faces as well as hear our voices and see us do funny little dances like I did earlier
exactly.
in the show.
Check out this cat and this peacock.
Yeah. Those are things you can do.
Those are things that you can check out, man. They're pretty great.
This show is brought to you by the listeners, by viewers like you. Supported on patreon.com/mtacast. Come join our Patreon family. We really appreciate it. We're working our way up to our next level, which is creating more My Roommate is a Planeswalker episodes for you.
Holy F.
I know. I'm really excited.
My goodness.
Whew, I hope we can make that happen.
Me too. You can find us online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
And I'm horny_unicorny.
And follow us. You can also find us on Twitch / Magic the Amateuring.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow there, you'll be able to know when we are going to stream,
yep.
Which we are known to do sometimes.
We are known to stream.
So come hang out with us.
Yeah.
While we play some magic, run some drafts.
Yeah, and, you know, hit us up on Twitter at MTACast, and also tell the professor thanks on Twitter if you like what you're getting.
Oh, that's a nice, that's good.
Yeah, because he's a great guy, and he's really helping us out by making these video podcasts.
And we really appreciate it.
And we really appreciate you, the listeners, so much that we're going to give you a big hug right now. Are you ready?
And we know his, also, we know his real name.
We do. It's we like shouldn't say it. We shouldn't say it, though. It's too powerful.
Really we shouldn't. But you guys... We know his real name.
Are you ready for your hug?
Okay, here it goes.
One, two, three. Great hug. Great hug.
Hold on, I'm hugging them longer than you are.
Okay, I'm out of this. It got weird.
Maria's skimping out on the hug.
Megan, you are hugging. You're like at
Shut up.
Significant other length right now.